I went to a concert with my daughter and two of my bonus kids last Thursday, and the main headliner, she asked the other two acts, this is a really small venue, she asked them to talk about their feelings before they played their part. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. I'm like, yes, like I hardly ever leave the house, but I'm like, I just came to like the perfect concert for me. Like, what the heck just happened? And there's all of these 20-something year old people sitting in there, and I'm standing there and I'm watching these young artists talk about their feelings and talk about like how it feels for them to be up on stage, how it feels for them to be clapped at, how it feels for them to be stepping into this new year. And I was just like almost in tears because I was like, yes, this is what we need. We need people to be so vulnerable in their emotions that it becomes a normal thing to talk about.
Welcome to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where we delve into the depths of our inner selves, uncovering authenticity and transformation. Join us for enlightening conversations on breathwork, self-discovery, and the profound journey within. I'm your host, Josh Perry, joined by the delightful Hannah Oxley. Let's begin.
Hello, and welcome back to the Deeper Awareness Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Hannah, and today I'm introducing Shondell Pino. I want her to like care for me. Like, she has just such this mothering energy. It was so nice to be in her presence, even virtually. And she calls herself an intuitive energy healer. And I love the way she explains how a session looks. Well, just how every session can look different, because what we're doing in this corner of the internet and this little realm of healing it's not one size fits all. We all, to get to this deeper awareness that we talk about all the time, it looks different for everyone. So especially when you're starting out on a healing journey, if something has to really spark your interest to feel safe enough to go deeper. And so that can look so many different ways. Maybe it is just talking things out first. Maybe it is a Reiki session. Maybe it is some sort of somatic yoga, which is a few things that Shondell encompasses in her work. So she'll tell you all about it, but I just find that so great because this is not a one size fits all life. And for so long, I feel like our culture specifically, we go to the doctor and they do what they're on their checklist of what they're supposed to look over. But everyone's different. Everyone needs different attunement and different approaches. So please enjoy this beautiful episode. I will say that when we recorded, I remember there was a sound issue, so you might still hear that in the beginning. Shondell's computer, we've all had that MacBook, or maybe not a MacBook, but just a laptop that the fan starts getting really loud as it gets older. So that was happening, but you should still be able to hear everything that is happening. So, and it does go away. So stay, hold tight while we get through a little bit of noise at the beginning, because it really is a beautiful conversation. Shondell is such a gift, and yes, you're going to love it. Without further ado, Shondell.
So I'm Shondell Pino. I have taught yoga for 19 years. That was kind of my first introduction to any of this type of work. And then when I was 36, I had cervical cancer, and I had like zero symptoms. I had zero like weird tests before that in my life. And I was like, what in the world? How is this in my body? And I had no idea, right? And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't feel like this is cancer. I feel like this is something else. So I started going to, and I had, we have someone here, his name is Dave. Dave's health and nutrition, and he's a naturopath. And so I went to Dave, and he's like, I don't see cancer. This is what it feels like to me. And I went and saw a biomeridian person, and she's like, you don't have cancer. And I'm like, okay, how is this showing up? And I don't feel like it is, and other people in my realm are not seeing it. And so I had to go the Western traditional route and get everything taken out and taken care of and all of that, because I had a small family, and the thought of me not being around was too much. And so I went ahead and did all that, but then it started me on this journey of figuring things out, because I was like, it feels like it's energetic, it feels like it's shame, and it feels like it's like guilt. And I'm like, but this doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't, like, how would those show up? I was raised in a religious home that did a lot of shaming around sex. And so that made sense to me. And of course, my own personal choices, you know, being a free spirit. And so I, as soon as I had all of the Western stuff taken care of and moved out, and it's funny because I taught yoga for so long, but I never wanted to do meditation. I was like, oh, I will do all about the body, but like, don't get me, like, this is just too much, right? Like, I can't connect. And I was like, that's it. I have to start meditating. And so I would get up and just sit right next to my bed and started a really deep meditation practice, which then evolved. And it, my meditation practice showed me everything. It was like, you need an altar. And so I bought myself an altar and moved it into my own space. And these are the things you need to have on your altar. And then it became, you need to look into Reiki. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is. And then it was, I went into energy kinesiology, which is the Chinese medicine. And so we worked a lot with the energies lines or along the body of where you are holding emotions. And so I was like, ah, this is it. This is why that showed up in this part of my body, because this is where it was holding these specific emotions that I was not able to process and deal with on my own. So like, my body was holding on to these emotions because I couldn't mentally process or understand it. And so I've done that for the last 11 years, which then took me into everything else. So I'm a manifesting generator. So I'm good at a lot of different things. I don't have just one modality that I do. I work with like chakra energy systems. It really brought me to the angels, and I work with them quite a bit, which opened up my medium abilities, and that was amazing. I would say the thing that, aside from the energy kinesiology, which helped me understand the emotional aspects of holding things in the body, this last year, the understanding of somatics has like completely shifted and changed a lot of things for me. And I know that's like a really big modality that's coming out right now, and I do understand that how important it is not to just understand the energetics of our body, but these aren't just meat suits that are carrying around our spirits. They are actually extremely intelligent and are telling me everything I need to know in the moment. So I spent a lot of time working with past trauma with myself and with other people through the meridians, because that's what's blocking us. And it took me to a point where I'm like, you know, I'm not saying I've dealt with all of my blocks, because that's just virtually impossible, but it opened me up enough to be able to actually pay attention to what was going on with my body in the moment, instead of ignoring it, because we spend so much time ignoring and like, oh, it's just this or it's just that, when they're actually clear messages of you being able to truly be present with what you're experiencing. And so that has helped me a ton. So that's kind of like the basic. I have all sorts of other stuff I do. If you want to know every little detail, I'm happy to share.
Well, I just have to say, thank you for sharing that, because I resonate so much with your story, as I'm sure Josh does too. There's so many aspects of that of your story that are similar to both of ours, I would say. And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Because I went through a similar thing of, I was diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease, but it's the same thing. I was like, this doesn't feel like that's it. Like, that's just not what's wrong with me. And I went to a holistic doctor who was like, you have parasites. And I'm like, well, that makes way more sense. And through the same sort of realizations that you went through, it's like, okay, well then if it's parasites, what does that symbolically mean? Like, I'm just too open. I'm just letting in too much. I'm letting people like feed off of me and suppressing emotion. It's all festered in my gut. Like, I held it all in there. I grew up in not a very strict religious household, but we still have like the Catholic guilt and everything. And it's going over that hump. Like what you mentioned about the not being able to meditate, I was the same way. Because what happens when we sit with ourselves is we know that shame, that guilt is going to be present, and we don't want to deal with that. So it's like getting over that hump of welcoming all of that is.
Right. And I think for me, so I typically, now that I know myself better, part of my resistance to meditation was in the religion that I grew up in, is you don't listen to yourself. You listen to your teachers and you listen to the people who are in charge. And so I stopped listening to myself because I didn't know what was right for me. And so learning to trust that again was a big thing. And mm-hmm. and so it was kind of like an interesting dynamic of like, well, I'm actually going to start listening to myself and see what comes up. And then, you know, everything was like, oh, you remembered us, here we are. And then everything came flooding in, and like all of my gifts and abilities and all those things, it was just a really good reminder. So yeah, if I could teach anything to children, it would be to meditate and to trust themselves.
So, mm-hmm. We have all the answers, but we're taught that we don't, that we have to seek elsewhere, but it's all in here.
And I do think it's a fine balance, right? You know, it's like we do have the answers, and when we're outside seeking the answers, it's not to get the answers, it's to validate what we already know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And to embrace that aspect of community too. I feel like not only are we more conditioned to look elsewhere, but we're like, at least for me, it's like community is like intimidating. But it's like when we finally give in and find the people that we open ourselves up to people and open our hearts up to people, that's so we feel safe enough to show them who we are. And then it's all, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I have a question. I've been really curious about these pockets of emotions inside my body. And recently, because I've done a lot of mindset work, I've done like internal family system stuff and then breath work. But this somatic piece, it feels like I have walls like around my heart. It feels like frozen grief, and I can feel anger and sadness and sorrow around my heart too. And part of my mission right now is to gain full access to my heart, to have it be wide open. But I don't have like the, because I only have my experience, I don't have like the words. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm saying the words and I don't know it. From your experience, can you share like what would you, if I came to you like in a session, how would you talk to me about what I just said?
So, oh, that's a good question. How a session looks for me is we would start talking about, I mean, because my first question, you know, you're saying you want to be completely wide open. And my first question to you would be, are you willing to be completely vulnerable? What is in the shadows that you don't want to see yourself, and or do you not want others to see, right? And then we can go through a conversation, but I would probably go into the energy kinesiology, because you feel this wall, and wall is, it's a much more of a term for a different type of modality, but you're feeling into this wall around your heart. And the way the Chinese medicine works is, this is like your priority. I want to get into around the heart, right? But there's probably something else along your energy system that needs to be dealt with first before you jump to the biggest thing. So it's like you want to do it in layers, because we always want to just get it done. Like, we want to just tackle this. We're like, I'm going to get this figured out and I'm going to be over. But we have so many experiences throughout our lives that impact that wall and or walls, right? And instead of like chiseling at it, we need to deal with this thing that feels safer to deal with right now. And it's building our capacity to deal with the biggest thing. And so when we deal with the little things, oh, okay, I needed to know and understand this, now I can move to this. And that's why I'm saying, like, I've dealt with so many of my different blocks, that not that I don't have any blocks anymore, but that I've opened myself up enough to be able to move to those next steps of seeing things. So I would probably put you on the table, do some muscle testing of your meridians to see what is your biggest priority to see and understand, and move the energy to be able to get closer to what is surrounding your heart.
Not and sure so what do you that. What do you call your, like, a treatment? Like, what do you call yourself?
I call myself an intuitive healing guide, because no session looks the same. Like, I'm not a coach. I'm not here to tell you do this, and this. I am intuitively and spiritually led, and I also am listen to your body and listen to your spirits and your guides. So you might come in one time and we just sit and we talk through things. You may come the next time and you're on the table and we're doing energy work. So it is all about what you need in the moment and what you need at that time. And like I said, sometimes you're going to come in and be like, I need to figure this out. And we go in a completely different thing, because this is the actual thing that's standing in your way from figuring this out. And so I also stopped calling myself a healer, because I would get a lot of people that are just like, oh, you can fix me. That's great. I'm going to come and see you. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, I'm here to help guide you in knowing how, or pointing out the things that can be seen or can be fixed, because we all don't need to be fixed. We just need to be seen. And all of these thoughts, feelings, and emotions are just asking to be acknowledged, felt, and seen.
I love that approach and that saying, you don't need to be fixed. You just need to be seen. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I spent a long road fixing myself. I got completely caught up in the, so one of my innate drivers is growth. And so, and my first one is harmony. And so, like, I was always trying to figure out how to reach harmony. And I was like, how do I grow? What do I need to know now? What do I need to do? Like, how do I fix this about me? How do I understand this about me so that I can just do the next thing? And I really got caught up in the, like, the fix it thought process. And so it really changed when I was like, oh, I actually just need to love myself where I'm at as I work through these things that come up. And that's where, like, the goal is really.
I've been thinking a lot about this this collective uncovering of the need to heal. Mm-hmm. Feels like there's a lot of that coming forward, and then it feels like there's two pieces. It's the uncovering, it's the healing, it's the moving through, it's the loving, and then it's also the understanding of what we needed. So that we maybe our kids need to heal less, and then, you know, generationally get to pass this forward. from that second piece of, and you've spoken to it a little bit, but around what we needed, you know, in childhood or societally, can you speak to like, what are some human needs that you've uncovered that you needed or the people that you work with?
I mean, I honestly would say the number one thing is to be seen. I think a lot of the times, especially, like, Ken, I know you're quite a bit younger, but like my generation, is we were like seen and not heard, right? So like, I acknowledge that you exist, but you do as we say, and you stay out of the way, and you do like this. So there's this like old mentality of that. But when we're actually seen for who we are and we're loved for who we are, I think that makes the biggest difference. So as society is expanding, we all just want to be seen, loved, and heard. And not told that we need to be any other way, not told that, you know, well, I will love you if, or I acknowledge that you exist if you do these certain things for me. It's just, we all, I feel like it's so important that we all just see each other and allow each other to be exactly who we are, whether that resonates with us or not. Because there are some people that will not resonate with you, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that you can't see them.
I always reflect back to like I grew up in a very loving household, but like if I was too mad or too sad or even too joyful, it was like, you can go to your room and, you know, express yourself behind closed doors. Like, we don't want that anger or sadness around here. We want you to like go to your room and do that. So it's like from a young age, that's a very common thing for someone to be sent to their room as a child. But if you learn that young that you can't be seen in all that you are, then you're going to constantly hide that and suppress all emotions. And that's where I swear that dis-ease creates disease in our body. And so I agree that being seen is the, because we talk about the human needs, and Josh actually sent me this beautiful pyramid. Forget who the person was who created that, but it was that should be, that need should be with food, water, and air.
Well, it's interesting because I work with children also, and I'll have parents that bring in their kids, and you know, the kids are kind of like rolling around or jumping or like walking around and looking at stuff, and the parent is just like, well, don't touch that. And I'm like, no, it's okay, they can. Like, just sit still. I'm like, no, like they can do whatever they want to, because in this room, the room that I work in, the children and the adults feel that safety if they can be whoever they want in here. And that they don't have to do, but it's the parent trying to like make sure that I view their child as something that is good. And I'm like, no, they are inherently good and they can be exactly. And so like to work with children and have the parent in the room, I'm showing the parent also that like, it's okay for them to be that way. And I'm going to love them regardless. I mean, I had one kid in here, I have chakra chimes, and they were just like, ding, 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 ding. And she, like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, that kid probably needs all of those dings, so let them ding it out, right? And so it's just allowing it to just be what is, instead of trying to control anything, because it's like being sent to the room, chances are your parent did not have the capacity to deal with your anger, your sadness, your even your joy, and so they were uncomfortable in their own bodies. And so they had to remove the situation. And so, you know, when I have parents in the room, I'm just helping build their capacity to allow that child to be who they are.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
It's easy to see people all the time. It's not, you know, we have our own judgments and our own thoughts. And, you know, I have a different perspective on judgment in itself. Is judgment is telling us what's important to us. It's not about the other person. It's, you know, if I'm judging somebody for something, I immediately am like, I wonder why that feels important to me. And so it's a good
the
reflection.
Invitation to look inside.
So can you talk more about what it looks like to work with angels, like, and maybe like what, like how that started coming through for you? It sounds like it wasn't, and then it started to. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't say that it wasn't and that it was. When I was young, I would always feel presence around me. I had an instance where I was laying in bed one night and I literally felt someone sit next to me on the bed, and I was like, what the heck? And then, you know, my not knowing moves to fear immediately. I was like, you need to get the heck out of here. And looking back, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have trusted to engage to know who it was. And so it was almost like a remembrance that they're always there, that they are always around us, but they just need the invitation to support us. I think the first one of my friends gave me like an angel tarot card deck, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. It was my first deck I ever got, and she's like, I just felt like I was supposed to give this to you. And so that was my first kind of playing with the angels. And then I came across Kyle Gray. He's from the UK, and it like completely opened everything for me. And I was like, these beings are definitely part of my path. And it's because growing up in my home, I had a very distrust in spirit. I asked for support. I would get answers. The answers didn't feel good in my body, but I went with it. And so then I had like a loss of faith because I was like, oh, that did not, I don't really believe that you're telling me what I need to know, which is actually what was really good for me. So I had a really hard time connecting with God or spirit or anything like that. And then I met the angels, and I heard the phrase, Kyle says, angels are the breath of God. So they're no real different than God, but it is an aspect. Just like all of us are aspects of God, right? We all have it within us. So are the angels. And so for me, connecting with the angels was my trusted way of connecting with spirit. And it felt right to me. And I love the fact that archangels all have a specific job. And so for my brain, that kind of is like, oh, this I can understand. I can go to Michael for protection. I can go to Gabriel for healing. I can go to, or sorry, Raphael for healing, Gabriel for speaking. So like I can call on specific angels for specific things. And then it goes into the seventh masters and things like that. Which then led me to a very close relationship with like Jesus and Mary, which I had never had before. And those completely changed my life. And I feel very supported at all times, even when I'm completely alone, and I feel their presence, and I work with them always. So like if I have a client come in, I will feel the essence of a specific archangel, or I will feel the essence of someone's guardian angel or helping spirit, and I'll talk about that. So when the angels first came in for me, I was doing a Reiki session on someone, and this lady's brother kept coming in, and I was like, I don't know if I can say this. And he's like, just say it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so I don't talk to spirits, but this is what's coming through. And I probably, that happened like five different times, like kind of like in a row. And at the fifth time, I was about to say what I had typically started saying, I don't talk to spirits, but, and I started to say it, and I just heard, you need to stop saying that. We're obviously talking to you. You need to stop saying that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then that moment on, I was like, I trust in what the spirit guides and angels and archangels are telling me. And I just moved to complete trust, and it opened up everything. And so, you know, if you have something specific that you're working through, there is an archangel there that will support you in that, whatever that is. And also your own guides and angels. You know, we have a guardian angel that we are born with and that we die with. Some believe that it is with the same one is with you from lifetime to lifetime. But then we also have angels that come in and out of our lives as we are navigating different things. The biggest thing to know about angels, whether it's your guardian angels or your archangels, is that they need permission. They have free will just like the rest of us, and they need permission in order to help and support you. And just a simple thank you. Thank you, angels and guides, for supporting me today. I also like to say thank you for reminding me of your presence. And that is just like an open door. And you will start feeling and seeing and experiencing their support. But they're always there, regardless. They can just help enough until we get permission.
I love that. I've been, you know, the further you go on a spiritual path and you meet people and they're like, oh, my guardian, my guides, my angels, everything are telling me this and this. I'm like, oh, like, I can't, like, I want someone to talk to me. So I actually, it's funny, you said Kyle Gray, I have one of his decks right here, of this Keepers of the Light. I love this one. But yeah, it's so I'm still working on that opening and allowance and the invitation to them. But I just love that you just set this light inside me for that.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's interesting because like I was asking them this morning, I'm like, you guys, like, I have no idea what I'm even going to talk about. And they're like, well, you're going to talk about it. I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad. I'm like, I always end up talking to you guys. I'm like, but is there anything else? And they're like, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay.
And then you come on and there's this big beam of light on me.
That's why I'm like, don't fix it.
Do you think that was a specific angel or just the presence of anything?
So I will tend not to tune in unless I'm given permission.
I was going to ask, that was my next question. So if you put up a nice, you know, block for yourself, not to get too many.
I don't put up blocks or energy shields. I used to, when I first got into this work, I used to put up energy shields. And that's because once you understand that you're an empath, everything starts to make sense. And you're like, oh, no wonder I always felt like this or had to have alone time or do all of these things. And so I started doing energy protection so that I could figure out myself and then how to navigate with other people. But I've just learned that I do an angel prayer every morning. Thank you for showering me with your love and protection. But that doesn't block me from connecting to people, but I am a firm believer in permission. And so like, I'm not just going to tune into you. I'm going to ask your permission. Is it okay if I tune into you, to your body, to your energy system, or anything like that. But like, for me, that was just a sign saying, yeah, we're here. It was more so for me than for you, is what I felt. That's why I'm like, stop me, don't move.
And so then how did you, just with the drums behind you, they were asking for attention. Yeah. So that's where you met Josh at a drum workshop or making drums, right?
Well, no, Josh started following me on Instagram. I don't even know how you came across me. Once you kind of get into this field, people start popping up, right? And this is my first drum build. This is my elk. And I had gone to a retreat and this gal had drummed this really big bear drum over me. And I was just like she literally, we were outside in nature on the grass and she drummed over me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, I need to have, and she did a bear drum. I'm like, I need to have a bear drum. Well, bear drums are not that easy to get. And so I started with the elk and started to just be really drawn to the drums. And then 3 years later, I was actually able to get my bear drum. That's this one up here.
Aww.
My
sweet
little bear that I'm just completely and utterly in love with. I'm like, if I'm in love with anybody, it's myself and my drum. we're in a relationship. But the bear drum like truly has shifted a lot of things for me. And I, you know, Cherie, I had to restring my bear because I strung it the way I wanted it to be strung. And I was playing it and it was giving me reverb. And so I reached out to Cherie and I was like, something's going on. And so she met with my bear and she's like, we need to restring it. And so I was like, oh, it wants to be strung the way it's meant to be. So that's me in a lesson of getting out of my own way. And so Cherie had, you both had posted that you were doing a breath work and sound bath. And like, I look up to Cherie quite a bit. I think that she's taught me a lot in the last couple months. Which I really admire her. So I was like, anything with her, and I'm in. And then, you know, I had just, you know, you and I had just connected. And so I was like, yeah, I get to experience his magic. So that's perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was just telling Hannah. So our next one together is this Sunday, Cherie and I. And I was like, I want somebody to create that event so that I can participate. Like that's what I'm really looking forward to, is I have to talk one of my breathwork friends into doing that with Cherie. So
it was amazing. I really, really enjoyed it.
Ugh. I wish I lived in Utah. There's nothing like this over in Massachusetts right now. I was just telling Josh, I've just signed up for a breathwork. Because I, as much as I do it, and I'll join online and I facilitate all the time, but there's just not a presence in over in my neck of the woods. But I just found somebody, so I'm so excited to be held in a group in person for the first time, for after only doing this for a couple of years. Just excited to finally, they start to come out once, because for a while I had the belief that I'm like completely alone on the cold East Coast. But the more you put it out there, and you know, you start to attract the people that are meant to be. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to find little communities here and there. But it's nice. I'm jealous that you can't be there.
I'm a firm believer, if it doesn't exist, then I need to create it. So my breath work and ice bath, I go to a community that does breath work and ice bath on Sunday mornings. And they just said they're moving to Mexico. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, so I need to find someone who does breath work, and then I need to do the ice baths. And I'm like, I have the space, we'll just do it here. And like, I'm like immediately starting to like recreate what was so helpful for me. So
yeah, that's a huge invitation. Yeah, Josh, you should facilitate it. And drums. Drums, ice bath, breath work.
Yeah.
The magic combo. I'd love to hear about your workshops, right?
I do. I do hold some workshops in person, and I'm moving quite a few of them online this year. I love the in-person, but I'm starting to get more people that are not local. They're like, well, I want to come. And so we do one a month where I just teach yoga nidra, and I have a friend who does the sound bowls. That's one of my favorite ones that everyone consistently asks for, so we do that once a month. I have workshops that I have one at the beginning of the year, which we're finished with now, but I ended up putting the journal online on Amazon for anybody who wanted to go through it after the fact. That I, a couple years ago, I became very intentional about being intentional in my year. And so it was not just that I'm, you know, setting these goals or anything at the beginning of the year, but that I'm going to live intentionally throughout the year. So I would pull cards for every month and every quarter, and then put them in a journal. And so it would help guide me and show me where my attention needs to be at the time. And I started sharing that with people, and everyone just loves it. And so I put that into a workshop. And then I do a manifesting challenge, a 5x55 manifesting challenge. And we don't necessarily do that as a workshop anymore. I have moved it so it's a Facebook group. And we all do a manifesting on the 5th of every month. And it's a technique called 5x55. You do it for 5 days, you write down 55 times. But you actually go through a whole entire process before you start your 5 days to really get clear on your intention. And that one is like, I just love doing it. It's super fun. It's super fun to watch people like manifesting their things or having things come through for them, but actually being really clear. So it's not like, I have abundance. It's very much deeper than that. And the process is really, really neat. What I love, it's like $5.55 to participate one time. And then we all just, it's just much, much more of a community. And then I just, whenever anything is called to me to teach, I'll teach. So I can teach around chakras, angels, your energy system, meditation, any of those types of things. I'm very much of things will come to me when I'm supposed to teach them. I try not to force a whole lot of things.
I've been reading the Surrender Experiment. Have you read that one?
I've not read that book. Oh. I keep being told about it, so it might be on my list.
So it's Michael Singer. He read or wrote The Untethered Soul. And so
I have read that.
Okay. Yeah. It's all about just in what way is he trying to control? And he'll just let go and let life guide. And then he's in the flow of life, trusting. And that magic, by design, if we can get out of the way, life will be magical. And it doesn't mean like easy. Like he still went through all these hard things, but there was so much trust just in his, I mean, for 40 years, he kind of details his experience.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. I mean, to surrender was, so I pick a word of the year. That's actually one of the workshops that's like in motion right now. I don't do things at the beginning of the year. I set things in motion at the beginning of the year. And 2 years ago, my word was surrender. And that is a doozy. Like, it's not easy to just completely surrender to what is happening, and again, staying present to that awareness of just like, okay, I've got to just like hands off the wheel and trust. And last year, my words were ease and grace, and it truly was that life showed me all the areas that I did not experience ease and grace and why I was not experiencing that. Instead of me thinking that, oh, this year's going to be so easy and graceful and beautiful. And it's just like, oh, that's what you want. Here you go. This is where it's not. This is what's preventing you. These are your blocks. This is what's standing in the way of you truly having that. So I love doing a word of the year instead.
Good thing you did surrender before the ease and grace. Bringing the surrender back into that following year.
Yes, yes. And this year my word is celebrate, because I recently learned about our cycles and how we, when we move through a cycle of anything, you go through an initiation, then you go through the journey, and unless you celebrate that journey, then you will continue to repeat the initiation and the journey, initiation and the journey, until you celebrate. And so I was like, I am going to celebrate all of the things, little and big, and that is my focus this year. So, yeah.
That is so beautiful. I love that so much. It's so true. If you don't take that time to celebrate it, then yeah, I see that.
It's back to being seen, right? Like, we do all of this healing work, and we're like, oh, okay, I got that, and now I'm going to go to the next thing, but then a few months or a few years later, it circles back around and you're like, why is this coming back up? I've already worked on this. Well, it's because you didn't acknowledge yourself. You didn't celebrate yourself. You didn't be like, look at, I just did that. Like, that is, woohoo! Like, let's do something exciting about that. It's like bringing that joy back in. We just get caught in the cycle of now what's next, now what's next. And so I'm like, I'm all about celebrating. Let's do it. Let's celebrate it all.
It's like a reframe from closure, because I always hated the word closure, and instead it's like celebrate.
Where is your space?
In my home.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm right out in Riverton.
I'm on that journey. Are you
creating your space?
Yeah, because I was at a studio for a while, and then it just became too expensive to be a part of it, and I'm like, I have the space. This is my basement. I'm like, I do my one-on-one breathwork clients down here. And I'm like, why don't I just have, I can fit a couple more people. Like, I can do a little group. But it's like the it's like a physical metaphor almost for opening up, because I'm like, and I know it comes from like my mom, because she's always like, well, we can't have people over, the house is a mess kind of thing. And I'm so I can feel that pattern in me of like, I don't know if it's perfect enough, like people are going to judge me for, you know, there's a cobweb over in the corner, or like whatever it is. So it's like a physical metaphor, and I'm totally like soaking in it and seeing uncovering what's what else is there for me. So it's in the process of becoming my little studio.
Do it, because you will love having that for yourself too. Like, I spend a lot of time in this room.
I bet. From what
people
I
have
see,
to walk through my, and sometimes my son is laying on the couch, you know, doing his own thing, and I'm just like, this is where we live. Like, yeah. This is, you know, happening in real life. And so it just makes you just as real as anyone else, and people resonate with that. So
yeah, see, that's exactly, because my boyfriend will be lying on the couch too. And so like, it's the same thing. Like, yeah, they have to come through the kitchen. And I'm like, you know what, whatever. So I'm right on that, that line of like surrendering into, it is what it is. They're going to want to come anyway. And it is, it's like a permission to, that goes into the permission to be messy and permission to just be who you are. Because if once you do it, then someone else, you know, gets a little more freedom for their own judgments, self-judgments.
Permission to be seen. I think, I mean, where I am at right now on my journey, which is ever unfolding, is really truly embracing the somatic work and being with the feelings and emotions that I have going on within my body, because if I don't, those are the things that create the blocks. If I don't sit with, you know, the other day I was really feeling a lot of like sadness, anger, frustration of an experience that I was going through. And like, I walked out of my bedroom and I was like, I could feel it in my body, right? And like, I knew I'm like sad, and I can feel like frustration. And I was, and I walked down the hallway and I'm like, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, everything's fine. And I stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, I am not fine. I am not fine. My brain is trying to tell me to disregard what my body is telling me. And my emotions are telling me, my emotions are telling me that I am not fine. And we are so conditioned to bypass our emotions and bypass our bodies. And our, we're told to, you're fine. You know, a little kid gets hurt, you're fine, you're fine. Put some dirt on it, you're great, right? And I just stopped and I was like, I am not fine. And I'm gonna honor the fact that these emotions are running, literally running through my body right now. It's not in one spot. It's like, I can feel it everywhere. And before it gets jumbled up into one spot and I hold it in this wall around my heart, or I hold it in my gut, I'm going to allow it to run its course. And the more we can do that, the more we can sit with our bodies and sit with our emotions, the easier this life will be. Is it easy? No, it's hard to be with our emotions for a few moments, right? Because that's really all that it does. And like, I stood in my hallway for probably a minute and a half. And then I was like, okay, now I am going to go do all these other things, right? And but the static of it was softer, and I was able to move through. And I think honoring that piece of where we are in the moment is really good and needed right now. It goes back to the being seen. I need to be able to see myself where I am in the moment and not try to tell myself that I'm any different than I am, or better, or anything. So that's kind of where I'm at on my journey. And then if I can share with anybody, it's just honor where you are.
Honor where you're at. Because like, for me too, I resonate with that. Because my ego will like shift forms and come in as it's something different, because now it's like, Oh, well, you're a breathwork facilitator. You shouldn't be having all these emotions. It's like, I absolutely should be having all these emotions. I have to continue the process. It's never, there's no end game. And you're constantly finding, like, as you're finding deeper levels of awareness, that ego, that shadow self, whatever it is just also finding deeper levels, at least I'm finding. So it's like, it's always a work. So it's beautiful awareness.
I'd like to dive in real quick to, I've been exploring the idea of connection and like connecting to myself. It's almost like we're uncovering logical concepts, but then understanding or discovering that there's depth to connection. And that we can chat about the weather and we can say, oh, I connected with that person, or we can connect over the loss of somebody, you know, through grief or sorrow. And it feels like the deeper we go, the deeper we can connect. And that emotions are such a big part of that, that if we eliminate emotions from, like, if I get to a place as a human, I'm so evolved that all I feel is joy. I don't know how you would connect with me if you're going through sorrow, you know, in that moment. And so it feels like emotions are really vital piece to connection. And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely. And you know, it goes back to, like, when you were saying, Hannah, like, you got sent to a room, if you were feeling any type of emotion, the emotions become so unsafe to express out in the world. And I went to a concert with my daughter and two of my bonus kids last Thursday. And the main headliner, she asked the other two acts, this is a really small venue, she asked them to talk about their feelings before they played their part. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. I'm like, yes, like I hardly ever leave the house, but I'm like, I just came to, like, the perfect concert for me. Like, what the heck just happened? And there's all of these 20 something year old people sitting in there, and I'm standing there and I'm watching these young artists talk about their feelings and talk about, like, how it feels for them to be up on stage, how it feels for them to be clapped at, how it feels for them to be stepping into this new year. And I was just, like, almost in tears because I was like, yes, this is what we need. We need people to be so vulnerable in their emotions that it becomes a normal thing to talk about. I raised both of my kids talking about emotions. Like, you know, as a little boy, like, my son would cry or be upset about something, and I'm like, it's okay for you to cry. Cry. It's okay. Because I didn't want them to grow up thinking that it wasn't okay to express their emotions. Now, the outside world tells them anyways, right? We can't protect our kids from everything. But, like, just watching these three artists talk about their emotions so publicly and in front of a room full of 100 people, I'm so glad that you're even talking about this, because I'm like, yes, we need more of this. And even before I went to that concert, I thought it was so amazing, is, you know, similar to you, like, when people say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. How are you? It's like an immediate reaction. It's like, did you even stop to think about how you are actually doing? Because our feelings sometimes are not safe for other people, because nobody has the capacity at this point. Or not knowing, but a lot of people don't have capacity to actually hear how you're doing. And I'm like, I am going to start being honest. I'm going to start being like, well, actually, today's a pretty good day. I'm feeling excited, right? Or, like, when you guys ask me, I'm like, well, I'm a little nervous because I've never done this before, right? And so it's like stepping into that vulnerability instead of being like, oh, I'm great. I'm so excited about this. I'm like, no, I'm freaking nervous. Like, I don't know. And so we get to be the ones who step forward and say, this is how I'm actually feeling. And you don't have to go into the story about it. You don't need to tell everybody why you're feeling the way you feel, but to be honest and vulnerable in our feelings allows us that open connection to deeply connect with people instead of just the surface connection. So I love that.
So needed right now. People need to feel connected.
People need to feel safe in their connection. And so it's like, if you're sharing how you feel, that automatically gives them a sense of safety in themselves and in you, of it's okay to talk about that.
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this. It feels like connection is, it seems like in our English language, we have labels. And so connection is like a label. And then there's ingredients inside connection. And it can be unique and different with each relationship. And it can be an opportunity to explore. But we, like you said, we need that safety that it's okay to explore inward. And then can I share what I found inward with somebody outside of me? Is there safety there? And then I feel like we're kind of starved as a society of connection. And then when we get to like a default baseline, because right now we're like far below the line. And if we can get to a place where it's just default baseline, that we're actually, we'll find places that we can really connect at a deeper level that our society is not ready for yet. There's no way for us to go there because it's far beyond our nervous system or our capacity to even explore it.
Well, I do think that that's why the somatic work is so important, is because it helps you build your capacity for those things. And also recognizing that, like, if I were to see you on the street, right, and you're like, ask me how I'm doing, and I'm like, oh, today's actually a really hard day, I'm kind of stressed out about something, and you're like, oh, and then completely bypass what I say, that actually has nothing to do with me. And my awareness of saying that person doesn't have the capacity to hold me where I'm at, and that's okay. Right? I have safety within myself to know that I was okay to be vulnerable, and I'm also okay to hold myself in whatever it is that I'm feeling. And so, you know, recognizing that people can only hold to their own capacity is really important, because we always tend to take things so personal. Because I could be like, oh, he didn't even really care how I was feeling. He just was making conversation. No, it's that maybe the capacity isn't there to hold that. And that's okay. And so that doesn't break the connection. It just helps you have understanding of the connection. And there are various layers of connection. I mean, you connect deeply with some and surface with others. And that's okay. Trying to make that connection, I think, is what's important.
Yeah, because I think that vulnerability, that authenticity is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So as when we just keep making that promise to ourselves, just keep that authenticity going, it just happens automatically that people will feel it, and they'll also show up as themselves.
Just reminded me of a friend and I did a breathwork event together, and there were about 12 or 13 people, and we had a circle, and we had each person write the biggest thing they struggled with during the past year. And it was anonymous, so they just put it into like a bowl, and then we read each thing. And then we were all standing in the circle, and if anybody could relate with that experience, we asked them to step forward. And it was a beautiful exercise of just how relatable all of our struggles are. And also, if it was my struggle that they read and I thought nobody understands that, or nobody, I'm all alone in this. And then to see people step forward, it was like, oh, I'm, wow, that, you know, it was really impactful. And so it feels like creating more spaces for those kinds of things to take place where we get to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like going back to your point, and then the community and how important that is.
I do have the last Monday of every month. I call it the gathering, and it's just in my home. And I do invite people to come as they are. You know, I'm not going to be teaching any topic, any subject, anything, but people come experiencing whatever they're experiencing and have that open space to be vulnerable and share. And it is surprising when someone's like, oh my gosh, yes, me too. Or like, oh, I just worked through that. And like, this is how I, and it has been really magical. And I have had it where one day there was only one person who came and she was like, I didn't even know if I should come because I'm in such a bad space. And I'm like, well, then you were in the right space. And it ended up just being me and her that one time. And it was exactly what she needed, right? And so, and then a couple, I guess the last November one, I had just gotten back from an ayahuasca ceremony. And I was like in the throes of working through a lot of things. And I was like, maybe I should cancel. And I was like, wait a minute, why would I cancel? My whole purpose is to show up exactly as we are. And I'm like, this is exactly where I am. And people came and I'm like, this is me, right? And they're like, great. And it was so wonderful for me to even be that example to show up exactly where I was working through things that I needed to work through. And I was a witness to these people who have felt safe in this space to be able to do that for themselves too. And so I do think there are more spaces that are needed like that. And not even just groups, but within people. You know, we can only offer the safety that we are ourselves. And so if you truly feel safe within yourself, you get to be that for other people. And so as a collective, yes, in groups, and yes, individually.
Hannah, I can see a circle forming in your basement.
A circle? Oh, I was like, yeah. There's another sunbeam?
Sunbeam.
That was all just coming through as you were speaking to that. Because that's something that would be so me, like, oh, I can't hold that space today, but wait a second, I should be, because this is who I am right now. Hmm. Just showing up authentically in my house, whatever state my house is at, whatever state I'm at. Yeah, I love that. What a great example.
In this group that I'm in, there's a lady that is the teacher. It's her modality. But she showed up a couple weeks ago and she was in the middle of her, you know, going through life. Life was happening to her that day. And we as a group got to hold her. And it felt so different than, you know, the what I grew up in, or in, you know, governmentally or whatever, that there's the put together people on top and there's all the scum down below and we have to bow down or whatever. But it was this gift to really hold the person that we learned how to hold. Like, it was that gift.
It's so humbling and makes everyone, because we're all one. We're all equal. This is a good reminder.
So Chandel, do you want to share where people can find you?
So I'm Inner Light Academy. So on my website is innerlightacademy.me, and then Instagram is Inner Light Academy. I think it's Inner Light and then _ Academy on Instagram. I am on Facebook as Inner Light Academy. I don't use Facebook a ton. I use Instagram a lot more than I do Facebook. I have my personal pages that I don't typically share a whole lot. Open up my personal page on Facebook to everyone. That's more reserved for family. So I do get a lot of people who request to follow me there, but then I will just kind of gently bring them to Instagram. But everything I do is posted on Instagram.
So is it generally one-on-one work, or do you have, so you have the gathering, you have the workshop, so some is groups as well, sounds like.
Yeah, there are group workshops and things that we do. There are group gatherings that we do. There's a new wellness place that's opening up in South Jordan in March, that I will be teaching yoga over there. It's called Evolve. I will be teaching yoga over there. I'm hoping to do drum circles over there and then some workshops. So that will be a big place. It's more public coming out, but generally people come to see me one-on-one. Thank you guys so much for having me. I love this. It's been super fun.
Thank you. This has been like, just feel so warm and fulfilled after talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to get to know you both too, Hannah. I agree. Circles are in your future. And like, I'm happy if you have any questions to figure out how to do it, just feel free to reach out to me. I would love to help you, support you. Like, this is what worked for me. This is how I've done it. I'm happy to share anything.
Awesome.
I'm very much like, hoping to build up.
Lift it all together. Lift the collective.
It doesn't exist, create it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if you know, if you're saying you want to be able to be a participant of breath work, right? Until you put it out, other people aren't going to know necessarily about it. And then it's the people who are searching for something mm-hmm. that you put it out there, then they get certified because they think it's so
right.
amazing. And then you get their glasses.
Yeah.
So something else I learned is like, if I'm stepping into it, like I've had quite a few clients go and start doing their own things. And I'm like, yes, that's more, more, more. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm happy to help.
If it doesn't exist, create it. That's my takeaway.
That's so good.
And thank you, Josh, for getting to know you better, and working together would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do it. That'd be amazing.
What a great episode. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Let us know what you took from that. Leave some comments, share with a friend who also might resonate with the story. Subscribe, like, all those things so that we can spread the word about our podcast. And so all of our beautiful stories that we get to hear from our amazing guests get to be shared around the world. We appreciate you as a listener, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where the journey of self-discovery and inner growth continues to unfold. We hope this episode has ignited a spark within you and inspired you to embrace a more conscious and authentic existence by looking within. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes, where we'll continue to explore the transformative power of breathwork and emotional healing. Continue the conversation and stay connected with us on Instagram. Follow at Deeper Awareness Podcast to receive daily inspiration, valuable tips, and updates on our latest episodes and offerings. We'd love to hear your thoughts and insights from today's show, so feel free to share them in the comments below or tag us in your posts. Your engagement and feedback mean the world to us as we strive to continue to create content that resonates and empowers our incredible community. Together, we can continue exploring the depths of consciousness, fostering genuine connections, and supporting each other on our transformative journeys. This episode is brought to you by You Belong Breathwork, your destination for transformative healing and self-discovery. At You Belong Breathwork, we believe in the power of breath to unlock the deepest parts of ourselves, leading to profound insights and a greater sense of connection and belonging. Whether you're seeking emotional healing, a deeper connection with yourself, or a path to authenticity, our breathwork sessions, retreats, and coaching programs are designed to guide you on this transformative journey. Our experienced facilitators are here to hold space for you as you explore the depths of your consciousness and discover the infinite potential within. Visit youbelongbreathwork.com to explore our offerings and download a free guided breathwork session. Thank you for being a part of our deeper awareness community. Stay connected, stay curious, and may you embrace your true essence with love and compassion. Goodbye for now, and see you in the next episode.